Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly. Cheese bag.
I wasn't expecting a cheese bag in there. Brilliant. That's amazing. Completely took me off guard for a change there, Pat. I was almost ready to respond to what you just said and talked over you. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, that's what I figured I would change it up a bit. I like try to make it different, a little bit different each week.
Oh, that's you're just gonna you're scaring me. Right, welcome guys to the show. It is, as Pat mentioned, it your cheese bags. It is the Full Force Weekly. We've got again a few little stories that grew into massive things, and now we've got lots to talk about, as it always is the case. Like during the week, I'm sitting there at like Wednesday thinking, we might be a bit light on news this week, and then Friday rolls around and it's just have a ton of news, which is great. You know, we're not gonna complain about that. So got a packed show at the end of it for you all. Pat, I like your mask t-shirt. Show everyone on the show that you're wearing a mask t-shirt. There you go.
Yeah, and you've got General Hawk, is that right?
Yes, I've got my General Hawk, even though you can't really see it, but there you go. Old Jenny from the block. Same. I said the same joke off camera. So we were talking. Do we just happen to be chatting away about masks, weren't we, Pat? And I asked you... I can't even say it. I asked you the question, okay, mask universe, Pat, if you're in it, what is your helmet power and nickname? And what did you say?
I'm probably going to regret actually what I said, but I instantly said my helmet would probably be called the nitpick helmet.
It's amazing. I could just imagine it just being like a magnifying glass type scenario, like a microscope, so you could look at things like really close up. Is that what it would be?
Yeah, probably. You know, for the number of times I've looked at toys trying to find variations, I swear that the glasses are from looking at G.I. Joe's and looking at the date stamps, like in the dark.
That's what's destroyed your eyesight over the years, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd probably be my mask vehicle would probably be a vehicle I've driven before, so maybe my Ford Probe if it's one of the cooler ones. If not, it would be my Ford Festiva. So I'd probably rather go with the Probe.
Vehicle code name Probe. I quite like that one. That's amazing.
How about yourself?
Oh, well, you know exactly what I went with. Some of it I can probably talk about on the show, but some of it probably can't. I think my helmet would probably be called Innuendo. And you can probably gauge where all of the special powers come from in that case. But anyway, that would be mine. I didn't even get to talking about what vehicle I'd drive. It would probably be one of those banana boats that gets dragged behind a speedboat. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
That's what I would have. It would be the most hilarious visual of all time, 100%. That's what I'm going with. What about you in the comments, guys? Let us know what your mask helmet would be, and also what vehicle you would drive and what it would transform into as well. We want to see what that is too. Anyway, that's mask. Also, isn't mask one of those things where someone says it and instantly the theme tune is in your head?
Yeah, that's what I was also saying, that's true. And I wish that there was an app for smartwatches that would just randomly call you into a mission.
That would be so awesome. Why does that not exist? We need to make that exist. It's hilarious that this is the Full Force Weekly and we are locked now into a mask debate. That actually sounds funny when you say it like that, doesn't it?
Using your helmet right now?
Yep, I'm using my Innuendo helmet. Amazing. This is just gold, isn't it? Right, should we get into the news? We're going from light-hearted humor now into a little bit of depressing news. I know. But obviously, we thought we'd start that way. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you to everyone in the comments for throwing in your comments and your questions and saying hi. Great to have you all on board, guys. I'll get to as many as possible as we go through the show today. So first up then, and like I said, in a little bit of kind of depressing news.
Just in case you thought it was all rosy, happy stories this week, Hasbro had other ideas. After a poor holiday quarter, the Big H announced that they would be cutting around 15% of their workforce, that's around 1,000 jobs, with shares of the toy maker falling more than 6% in extended trading. The latest cull comes as the company seeks to save between 250 and 300 million annually by the end of 2025. CEO Chris Cox explained that, despite strong growth in Wizards of the Coast and digital gaming, Hasbro Pulse and our licensing business, our consumer products business underperformed in the fourth quarter against the backdrop of a challenging holiday consumer environment. Hasbro said it expects fourth quarter revenue, which includes the holiday season, to reach $1.68 billion, down 17% compared to the year earlier period. Not a great look for Hasbro, but Cox still maintains that they are confident regarding their new Blueprint 2.0 strategy laid out in October, which focuses on fewer bigger brands, gaming, digital, and their rapidly growing direct-to-consumer and licensing businesses. It's been a rough few weeks for Hasbro from a PR perspective, so let's hope those who find themselves unemployed soon are able to come back stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of sucky to talk about it, obviously, but this was a major story that was going around earlier in the week. And yeah, we're just in that situation again, aren't we, where this seems to be... I mean, we talked about this, well, maybe like the sixth or seventh time it's come up since we've been doing this, Pat.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And you know what I kind of want to know each time is how big their workforce is or was before and after, because... I kind of wonder if the company grew in numbers since the last time that we had a similar report, because it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because they cut a lot of, probably even more at one point. I remember we reported on maybe 1,500, I think it was. Was that right?
I think you're right. I think you are right. But this time they also told us the percentage.
Yeah.
So I had done the show prep and figured out the math. That means that they started with 6,666 people, if this math was exact.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, like 6,500 or 6,750, somewhere in there. And they've cut 15% of those people. So I'm wondering if next time, and you know, that would bring them down to what, 5,600 some.
Yeah.
So next time we see one of these news things, I have to wonder, you know, will it be down from a, and it's a shame that I'm thinking that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But that just seems to be what Hasbro does. Every time they have a bad quarter, they terminate a bunch of people. I mean, I
in
have
some cases,
to think they're hiring in between.
In some cases, oh yeah, definitely. In some cases, I've definitely seen it where some people are like laid off from like a permanent position and then they're freelanced almost. I know that's happened in the past with a lot of kind of the creative side of the company. But, and also this is on a global scale as well, isn't it? So it's like, you know, probably going to be affecting Hasbro UK and Hasbro Europe and all those, you know, everyone kind of all over the world. So and also that sounds like a lot of people as well, initially, you know, the kind of initial numbers. This is the thing, I have no idea when it comes to like big corporations, I have no idea the actual numbers in terms of workforce, just not a clue. Something I've never really thought about or really looked into, but you know, it's actually quite a lot of people involved in this company. It's nuts.
Yeah. You do have to figure they have representatives all around the world. So that part of it makes sense. It's just, I don't know how they choose who goes, and
yeah,
I don't know. I would like to know what the maximum number they've ever employed as well.
Yeah. I think probably during like whatever kind of purple patch or heyday kind of period, they would have, I mean, it might even be now. Or like, you know, in recent years, it might be the highest kind of amount of employees they've ever had. But yeah, that would be interesting to find out and know. I will say as well, you know, this is all based on what has been a pretty kind of poor quarter for them. which feels funny because, you know, like towards the end of the year, I felt like we had about 20 figures, you know, just one line. We had loads of stuff come in. But I guess the fact is that isn't, you know, we've already paid for a lot of that. A lot of people have already paid for a lot of that product. So going into the holiday period, there didn't seem to be great sales for Hasbro. That's pretty clear.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how the timing of the retailers' payments go. Because if we were billed from things that we bought from, like, Target, when did Target actually make the payment for those figures?
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea how that works. I can't even begin to guess. So it is a little, it does seem just a little strange, though, the number of figures that came through. And it could be a timing thing. It could be. It's a shame. Phoebe seems pretty upset about it.
Phoebe's very upset about the whole situation. She's letting her voice known that she's not on board with this one, obviously. It's a real shame. But obviously, our thoughts go out to all the people that are going to lose their jobs after this, which sucks. So,
yeah, you know, I don't know about the freelance thing, just because like it really feels like a lot of the creative part of Hasbro was, you know, something that they're already freelance, that a lot of people have been cut a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it's almost like there's not a lot to cut from that part of the business.
Yeah. I think this is one of those company cycles, isn't it, really? And I think what's probably going to happen is there's probably going to be a lot of PR thrown at this to try and like soften the blow, as we've seen in the past. I mean, all companies do this. They all, you know, they have to kind of come out with the facts, but then shortly afterwards there'll be some initiative, there'll be something else to kind of like, you know, try and like get that news in the back burner a little bit and move on to the next thing. Obviously for the people that it affects, that's, you know, it's rubbish, it's awful, and like I said, our thoughts go out to anyone that might be affected by this. In any case, that is Hasbro news. Obviously, we want to get it out of the way, in effect, in much the same way that probably Hasbro do, so that we can start talking about fun stuff.
That's weird. I just Googled number of employees at Hasbro, and it says 5,600 as of 2021.
Okay.
So that just brings them exactly back down to what they had in 2021.
Yeah. So it sounds like a cycle, and it sounds like something that goes on every single time. I say that because it does, because this is not the first time we've reported on it. This is like, you know, like I say, we've been doing this for a number of years now, and it seems like there's a couple of moments each year where we do this story, and it just feels like it's that cycle in order to, you know, I suppose time it for the shareholders kind of thing, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
And it sucks that it affects so many people, unfortunately, but there you go. We have, though, been getting some awesome comments on what people would like to their vehicles to transform into. Nostalgia JT says a lawnmower that transforms into an Abrams tank. That's pretty cool. Would it be one of those, like, transformer spatial displacement things, or would it be a massive lawnmower or a tiny Abrams tank? That's what I want to know. Robert H says a train that would turn into a fortress. Again, there's got to be some like displacement going on there. What do you think, Pat?
But I think that if you have the option of displacement, you'd be a fool not to use that.
Absolutely. So I'm just the fool for trying to keep it practical, a banana boat that transforms into a, I didn't even know what it would transform into. Ed says, mask code name Layabout, helmet power, cold front, chills the drinks on the side of my bed. I like that one, Ed. That's brilliant. It's good because it's encapsulating all. This is the thing, like Pat and I were like, what kind of suits our personalities? Pat was like, nitpick. And I was innuendo. So there you go. Brilliant. Thanks for all of the comments, guys. They're all hilarious. Keep them coming. Oh, hi, Mom. She's saying hi, David, but she's responding to someone else on the show.
David, like the second comment of today.
Yeah, she's literally saying hi to everyone. So hi, Mom. Love you. Just conversations going on like crazy. And she says hi, Phoebe. Mom says hi, Phoebe. Oh, did you say it? That's amazing, isn't it? The timing on that was incredible. Right then. Also, I probably should have... Did anyone think I had my innuendo helmet on during the video for that as well, with the CEO's name? Because I did. Right then, next next up then, let's get into something a little bit more. You see, Phoebe's just like, move on, so we will.
The Super 7 G.I. Joe Reaction Target exclusive Ninja Viper, which we reported on last week when he popped up on the card backs for the new wave of figures, has been spotted on eBay already. As expected, the figure is a teal repaint of Storm Shadow, who has seen a whopping 3 redecos already with Red Ninja, Ninja Ku, and now the Ninja Viper. Even though the beautiful rejigged Jason Edmiston card art shows the character with long sleeves, the figure kept the Sunbow Guns Out vibe from Storm Shadow and the Red Ninja, which is a surprise considering the original had his meat sticks covered up with t-shirt style sleeves. It's no biggie though, as the deco looks fresh as well as his mocked up Sunbow style file card. Keep an eye on the pegs in your local Targets because he might just start showing up very soon.
Yeah, I think he's already in stores. So keep an eye on those guys. yes. Robert H. did say, you know, trains are massive, right? Especially if it was a big boy. That's a type of train, by the way. I'm the innuendo here, Robert H., not you. No, that's totally right. But I was kind of thinking just like one car rather than like an entire train. But you're totally correct. If you just had the entire massive train going on, especially some of the one that passes through here every now and again, that's about 3 miles long and goes about 2 miles an hour, that bad boy would transform definitely into a fortress. So I take that back. Anyway, rewind, back to Ninja Viper. Pat, happy to see it popping up already?
Yeah, you know, I think that Super 7's been picking some nice characters to do figures of. And this is one of the ones I did actually go to Target yesterday. Knowing that they were popping up, I went to Target yesterday looking for one of these. They didn't have one, but I expect them to have them soon. It was a little weird, though. Like, they used to have one peg that just said Reaction G.I. Joe. And now they had, like, a Reaction G.I. Joe peg, a Reaction Cobra peg, and then the Reaction Red Ninja peg.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they had, like, the exclusives had its own, which that kind of makes sense to me anyway. But I thought that it was weird that the G.I. Joe and Cobra were separated.
Was it separated by, like, would the tag say specifically Cobra and G.I. Joe?
You know what? I took pictures of them, and I could have just been tired and crazy, so let me make sure.
Because I was going to say, that's probably just a very on-it worker at the company, like, you know, is a fan of... toys and stuff, and knows, maybe even a fan of Joe.
No, one of them, the G.I. Joe one says G.I. Joe action figures, $17.99. And then the one with the Cobra peg says G.I. Joe Cobra action figure, $17.99.
Interesting. Maybe they've just got so many now, there's so many come out, that they can separate them in that way to kind of keep it a little bit kind of cleaner.
Yeah, maybe. But it does mean that the pegs are there for more than... I think it used to be 2 pegs. Now we're up to 3 that they've dedicated to G.I. Joe. Yeah,
they have to. The 3,000 figures already in the reaction line.
Yeah.
Aaron says, I'm excited about the Ninja Viper. I love my vintage figure. Awesome. Did you actually get that one originally from a mail away, Aaron? Let us know. Luke says, a Phoebe that transforms into a Diagnostic 80. That would be terrifying, by the way. And that would take some mass displacement there, Luke. Definitely. I'm a touch larger than Phoebe.
It's like Animorphs rather than mass.
beast machines. Beast wars going on right there. Yeah. In fact, I prefer Animorphs. I think that's some of the mid shots of the Animorph right. are some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. So yeah. Imagine an Animorph, me going into Phoebe, and halfway what that would look like. Just imagine that for a second.
Imagine. At what point do you lose the hat is what instantly went into my mind.
The hat would turn into her ears. Amazing. Anyway, this is what I was thinking about this the other day. I was looking at all of the repaints they've done of the Storm Shadow figure. So you've got the Storm Shadow figure, you've got... Satan slash the Red Ninja. You've got, do I have an image of it? No, I've just got the. Well, I might as well put that up anyway. Satan. Red Ninja, Storm Shadow. We've got Ninja Ku in the kind of black uniform, which by the way has black painted arms as opposed to, you know, the skin showing, which is interesting. They didn't do it for this, but what I'm guessing here, Pat, and I just want to see if this theory is probably what you're thinking as well, because they're kind of sunbowing it. Do you think that they took that into consideration to create this kind of like Storm Shadow repaint? Because effectively, he was a direct repaint of Storm Shadow, even down to the sleeves on the vintage figure, because Storm Shadow had them on the vintage figure, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I do kind of think, yeah, they are sunbowing it, but it's a matter of extrapolation. Since the figure is sculpted to not have sleeves, they're going to give it not sleeves. And Ninja Ku of the original figure actually had completely painted black.
Yeah.
So Ninja Ku only has that as a reference. And, you know, between that, the t-shirt sleeve and the wrap. There was skin showing for Ninja Viper. So I think that the way this is makes a lot of sense. If anything, I think that the card art probably should have had the skin showing.
Yeah, but, so just with your nitpick helmet on.
Yeah.
You would have gone with maybe changing the art up a little bit to match that.
Yeah, I would have changed the art to actually match the figure rather than having the figure match the art, for sure.
I wonder if Jason Edmiston, who did the artwork, was just using reference of an original vintage Ninja Viper and probably just went ahead and did that, thinking that they may do something like that on the figure.
Do you think that they had him do that change, or do you think that he just sent in Storm Shadow and
that's a good point? Well, that is a very good point, because obviously we've got friends in, you know, certain arenas of freelance art, haven't we? Like, and we know that in the past, and of course knowing from, like, you know, loads of stuff that we've had from like the legends of the G.I. Joe lines and the Greedo stuff and all that, you know, all of those different people that were involved. There are moments where an artist will hand their work in and the company will have an in-house, you know, team that make changes to that, that do it slightly differently, that add stuff to it to make it maybe more line up with the figure that's coming out. Usually it's that, isn't it? Usually it's a case of they did the art in advance and then the figure comes out, maybe has some changes to it or has some sort of things they have to make call out to on the artwork, and they just do it in-house rather than sending it back to the artist. Usually because of time and money constraints in that sense, isn't it? So that's a really good point. It's probably, you know, Jason's handed the work in. Maybe he's done that. But who knows? Like, it would be an interesting one to maybe find out.
And who knows if they knew what exclusives they were making at the time that they commissioned him to make the art.
True.
You know, and
true.
It's not like he's married to the thing. He got paid for it and it'd be done probably whenever he handed it in. So then if later on they decide they're going to do two repaints of this thing, it's not like he has to do that for free.
Yeah, definitely. So, Aaron says, yes, I got it originally when it was offered as a mail away. Awesome. That's great, Aaron.
I wonder if his had the swords inside the bag or outside of the bag, because for years I was swearing that mine came inside of the package. And I ordered mine like right away. And people told me that I was crazy, but then somebody came up with one that's on 3D Joe's. There is a picture of a Ninja Viper with the accessories inside the bag.
Interesting. Let us know, Aaron, if that's the case for yours. David has asked a good question here. Who do you think they will make as a variant in the future, Chris and Pat? Future Chris and Pat. So we don't have to answer. We don't have to answer this until next week. go on, Pat. Who do you think they'll do a variant of next?
I'm going to be hopeful and say that it'll be Snake Eyes as Action Force Hunter. Or Stalker. Stalker. Yeah. Or Hunter. Hunter would be a good one, too.
I was just about to say, Hunter would be awesome as a repainted officer.
Yeah.
Can't remember. I think it's an officer.
Which, even if it was just the trooper, because I don't think they even have a... They don't have a difference between an officer and a trooper. So just the trooper would be good enough.
Yeah, they just have to repaint one of the many variants they've got. That would be awesome. I'm going to go for a couple here because I think there are some really big, famous ones that I think they could do. Canary Ann is one I think might happen in the future. Because they've got a Lady J out there. And, you know, Canary Ann is like, you know, the yellow repaint effectively. And I just, I don't know, I feel like that one's quite almost... No, I wouldn't say iconic. Well, actually, no, it might be. I mean, the fact that she's had a statue done, the fact that she's had multiple statues done, actually, I think would probably hint that, you know, there's an awareness of that yellow repainted Lady J. Plus, with the camera and the yellow jumpsuit, she's effectively April O'Neil.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that is true. I would agree with that. It almost feels like, whenever that you look at Lady J, it's like, what can we repaint this into? And that's almost true of any sort of sculpt. If you look at it and go, what can this double as? There's not a lot of choices because in the 80s, they were just making new sculpts all over the place. And so with Lady J, if you're going to make a Lady J, it is nice that there is a go-to for her. And I could see that happening.
I think obviously Lady J, that's like a kind of one and done sort of thing. Although they kind of did, well, they did and they didn't, because obviously it was based on that Lady J kind of redeco concept. Do you remember where they did the engineer, the female engineer?
Oh, right, yeah.
So I know that wasn't technically a Lady J figure, if you know what I mean, but it was the original concept. But I do think Canary Ann's probably on the radar there. But I don't think that would be necessarily the next one they do. I think you're more likely, you know, to get, you know, maybe another Storm Shadow done. Maybe in like, this is the thing, isn't it? Because like, where are we now with all of the foreign variants? They've pretty much done them, but there's more, right?
Like foreign versions of the
Storm Shadow mold, the form Storm Shadow
mold. Oh, of specifically Storm Shadow. Ninjaku, Satan, and
Dun.
Those two are done. I can't really think of any others.
Yeah, you might be down to like, we might be moving on from Storm Shadow then in that case, maybe getting finally his version 2 deco. That would be...
Yeah, you could do the... I guess the version 2 deco on the version 1 figure was the 97 figure, so that existed.
Yeah, totally.
But that was more the Ninja Force deco, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the snow.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That would
be
a cool one to do. The Ninja Force deco on him. I was just kind of thinking that it would be a core character that seems to be what they go for. And one of the known repaints, and with the way that Red Laser is getting such a positive reaction, I could see going with a Snake Eyes figure, you know, with the Action Force deco. It would be another way of getting almost Snake Eyes out there, because he is almost like,
yeah,
you know, the look basically of him looks almost the same as Snake Eyes.
Basically Snake Eyes.
Yeah, not as wildly different as Red Laser.
Yeah. I'd also suggest, like David's mentioned this comment as well, but he thinks Cobra Dayako, Jackal, Red Jackal as well. I think those are two good options there. Dayako because of the Snake Eyes usage, and I think they'd enjoy that and have fun with it, especially with the kind of like shiny pieces.
Yeah, they'd need to do Flash first. So Flash would have to be a reaction figure, I think, before Dayako.
Right. I see what you mean. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Totally. I'd also say that Red Jackal would be a good one for obvious reasons, because it's, you know, they've already done Red Laser as a Cobra Commander repaint. It would kind of make sense to throw a Red Jackal out there as well.
Yeah,
as
such an easy core character. Yeah, I totally see that.
Baroness as well. I mean, she's got multiple different, you know, options to kind of roll with. And I think we're probably not too far away from Crimson stuff as well being introduced in those kind of situations. But yeah, there's a lot actually. There's a lot of options.
There's a ton.
Cool. Sorry, there's so many comments. We'll get to them later because we've got more news to talk about. Sorry, guys. Thank you. Keep them coming, though. Keep them coming. And if I missed one, just ask it again. I might be able to get to it again. Don't worry. Next up, then, we have a little bit of Pat's favorite type of news. Yes, it's classified code words.
Not too long ago, we reported on a number of brand new listings that were unearthed by JT Prime 17, and now we have a few more to get excited about. Toy News International posted the new listings, including three new ones that weren't on the previous list. The first one is Pallas, who we actually know to be Bazooka based on a previous release, so this one is easily explained away as the standard deco version of the figure. The other two are actually Target exclusives and are brand new. The article mentioned that one of them could be the Python Patrol Crimson Guard, but we know that to be false because they are in actual fact Kerouac, which is a completely different listing. These two Target exclusives, Poe and Dahl, are likely brand new Tiger Force or Python Patrol or both characters, so that's exciting. I hope we are looking at some new characters here, but I'll also take more redecos in order to get as much of the two sub-teams done as possible.
Yeah. So, again, this is Pat's favourite thing to talk about, is the classified listings where we don't know who they are, and it's just killing us inside. So first off, Pat, we've got... these are two new Target-exclusive listings we've got here, Poe and Dahl. Let me just switch. Obviously, we know Scrap Iron is Dumas Pet. We've known that for a number of months now. That's kind of been common knowledge. Pallas was one that was a little bit less common knowledge, but makes sense based on so many other things. Like for one, the fact that the listings came out with all the other figures in that wave. I'm not sure if anyone noticed that, but when these are listings that are just the code names, but there were other listings that just had the code names: Shipwreck, Torpedo, Rock and Roll, Copperhead, etc., etc. Those four basically. So those ones were kind of like, oh, that, you know, that's the wave, but Bazooka is in that wave, right? So it just basically keeps pushing it towards knowing what Pallas is in that sense. And also, Pallas showed up ages ago on listings that went under the radar, not with us, because I think we even reported on it. But at the time, we were aware that that was Bazooka. So that's Bazooka. For anyone that isn't fully aware, it's that guy. That's Pallas. Now, Poe and Dahl are the other two. Now, the other ones we reported on, and we've talked about these already, Pat, last week. Some of those are for characters that have been revealed. Some of them are unknown at this stage. But Poe and Dahl are two that popped up that we've known about for a while, but haven't known who they are. They are Target exclusives based on the THR listing designation. That's something that always comes up. It's THR for Target. It's... what's the other one? WES is the one for Walmart. So if you ever see any listings with that WES on there, that means Walmart. And we also get this ADV thing, which I think I worked out the other day based on previous releases. ADV is a fan channel. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so that is interesting.
Basically, I believe that's just e-tailers in those cases. So that is effectively what... that we're kind of unwrapping the code here. Now, it doesn't help, though, in the slightest, because we've got so many characters that could fit into the open Target exclusive options here, Pat. Now, we know Kerouac is Crimson Guard, so he's off the list, but that does open the door for characters such as Tiger Force Dusty, Tiger Force Flint, Tiger Force Roadblock, any new characters like Tiger Force Lifeline, those kind of characters. When we look at Python Patrol, we've still got technically we've still got Copperhead, even though he was also listed in this list of listings. I can say listings so many times. So it might be unlikely that they'd release them so close there, would you say?
Yeah, I don't know. With the feeling of everything needing to get caught up the way things have been, maybe they would.
Yeah.
With the way that things have just been weird and now we've finally gotten to an end. I guess I'm getting into future stories with talking about Emily even mentioning that they took a break from pre-order.
Oh, yeah.
Gives a chance.
Yeah, you can say it. It's fine.
Maybe this is all part of that. And maybe it is Copperhead, because that just seems likely to me. Like whenever I look at the Python Patrol figures, and I mean, I guess Bat would, you know, if I was just guessing based on the vintage figures that existed, I never would have guessed Bat.
Yeah.
But looking at the ones that existed, it is kind of, it feels like there's not a very big list. Like it's probably Copperhead or Televiper. It's probably one of the two.
There was one more. The infantry could probably be done as well, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you got like the trooper slash officer slash.
But I was almost feeling like that would be more important to separate out.
Sure.
You know, I would rather have the trooper and the officer separated than even having Copperhead and Copperhead
right.
separated. I don't know why. It just feels like how I would want to do it.
You got your nitpick helmet on again, haven't you?
Yeah.
just take my innuendo one off for a change and maybe stop saying jokes about knobs. Right then. I would also say that, you know, obviously you've got that whole subset of Python Patrol as well. Now, I did a deep dive on Python Patrol in another video, and I mentioned in that one that maybe it could be an idea to kind of, once they get to complete the original vintage Python Patrol with a few additions like the Battle Android Trooper, maybe another new one. That's another thing we haven't discussed here. Maybe it could be a new character completely.
Yeah.
Maybe they could put it to bed for a short time and then come back to Python Patrol in the future, where they looked at that subset, which is the vehicle deco effectively, you know, the kind of black with the red and the gold,
mm-hmm.
Where you've got, you know, characters like Major Blood who could do with a repaint or a redeco. You've got all the Vipers that would be attached to that. Heat, Laser, Rock, Paper, Scissors. Happy, Bashful, Doc. That kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think maybe they could come back to that as like almost like a Mark II Python Patrol. Would that be cool? Or
that's kind of how that other Python Patrol set always felt to me. Was that it was almost like the A set and the B set, or the Mark II, yeah, of Python Patrol. And I think it'd be good to get all of the ones from the original set out closer together, so that there isn't any sort of issue where maybe the colors don't match later on. Because, you know, if they do a bunch of them now and then they do one of them 3 years from now, what are the odds that the colors and the sculpt style and everything is going to be quite the same? It's not likely,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I think that it would be best to just get those original six done as soon as possible and then move on. But I mean, obviously they've already done Bat, so it's not like they're going to make them the first six. They can't. But yeah, I don't know. And even some of those other ones that were part of that Mark II, like Major Blood, maybe this time around you want to do him in like the earlier style. Python
yeah.
Patrol.
Yeah. Like take a gray, his greens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Ed says, Pat, the colors already don't match. But I will say with that, Ed, if you've ever looked at the whole lineup, and this is quite interesting, actually, for those that I know a lot of people say, but they're, you know, they're all different and everything. But if you look at the lineup, there is a consistency, weirdly enough, that ties them all together. With like, there's one color that ties them all together. And then there's like kind of almost like two separate factions or three separate factions in there. There's the kind of gray and yellow, and there's obviously the black. And then there's the... I forget what the other color combination is because I can't see them in my mind for some reason. But effectively, yeah, if you look at them all lined up, do it on Yojo because they've got
gray and yellow and red.
Yes. And there's that red that ties them all together, basically. But there's also it's an interesting, weird, but they kind of make sense together when you look at them together.
Yeah, but I'm wondering because what kind of what I meant was like, are the reds the same red? Are the grays the same grays? Are the green's the same green?
Like, I believe so.
Do they match as far as that goes? Because I actually don't have all the Python Patrol figures.
I believe the grays are the same, like the two light grays on you see on Televiper and on Crimson Guard. I believe they're the same. I believe the yellows are the same. The reds are definitely the same.
Well, on the vintage figures, yes.
Yes. Oh, on these, on the new ones. Yeah, that's sorry. That I was miles away on that one. They, interestingly, I don't think they do line up as tight.
Really?
Well, I've got the Viper has a much kind of almost like candy yellow. Well, I'm looking at it right here. I can see it in the distance. And the yellow doesn't seem to match the stripes of yellow on the officer. But I could, it's one of those things where it could be an optical illusion because of the fact that the yellows are on different colors. And in terms of the gray, there's only the gray on the Viper. And I don't think the Bat has it too, doesn't it? But the Bat's almost like in its own little world almost. It's got like the vehicle deco on it. It's got the kind of bright reddish maroony color, which isn't the same red as the, do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of differences in the classified ones, I think.
Yeah, that is true. The Bat kind of does go into that B-team, the Mark II kind of colors.
Aaron's brought up an interesting point that I'd like to ask everyone in the chat about. I'd like to see Cover Girl in Tiger Force, says Aaron. What about the rest of you? What characters that weren't in these sub-teams would you like to see? Personally, I'm going to go with my one, which I think I've always loved the thought of Snow Serpent in Python Patrol. I've always thought that would be amazing. And then you've got a jungle battle between Snow Serpent and Tiger Force Blizzard and Frostbite, of course. So I think a Python Patrol Snow Serpent would be amazing. Pat, what about yourself, bud?
I like those choices because I always, knowing that the part of the purpose of Tiger Force and Python Patrol was to bring out old figures. It always is a little weird to me whenever people want to pick like a 1993 figure as Tiger Force or something like that. It's like, that doesn't quite make as much sense to me as like an 85 or a Cover Girl. So I don't know. I always wanted, with Flint there on Tiger Force, I always did want Lady J.
Yes, that's a good one. I think Lady J would be a good, I mean, she's in, that's another thing. Maybe, like Night Force J as well. And I know Phil's in the chat already. Night Force Hawk, you're saying. So you're going away from the question completely by picking a different sub-team, Phil. So thanks for that. But Night Force Hawk sounds pretty dope. Would you go for that, Pat?
Yeah, obviously, if I'm going to add somebody to Night Force, it probably would be Low Light.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, Hawk fits within that of the idea of pulling somebody that would have been a little bit earlier. I mean, I guess he would have been still on Pegs as late as 80, like late 87, probably.
Yeah.
So, but still not one of the current teams. And Night Force, I guess, was more about figures that were currently or recently available.
Yeah. Python Patrol Baroness is a good one as well. I think that would be kind of cool. I think Python Patrol Zarana. Oh, I didn't know it was, you know the rest. I think that would be kind of cool. Dinah Davis says Tiger Force Deep Six.
Now, do you paint him like a vehicle or do you paint him like the figures?
That's brilliant. I would vehicle paint him. So he's got the phase going on, like the yellow into the kind of orangey, browny, white kind of phase, and then put two massive eyes and a big mouth on his helmet. Innuendo helmet is on. Cool. Any others? What are the people saying? Tiger Force Timber says fully clothed, low definition. I absolutely love that option, by the way. I think I said that last week, actually. I think I said, how funny would it be to have Timber literally Tiger Force vehicled up, and then you could put a big mouth where his actual mouth is and two big eyes around his actual eyes. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And then I think we joked about doing the deco the other way around. So that their mouth and the eye paint was at the back end of Timber rather than the front.
I don't even remember that.
That was in a conversation, a private conversation with the team. That's a good shout. Tiger Force Snake Eyes. Now, he exists kind of, but in a bootleg scenario, doesn't he?
Right, yeah.
And so, he looks good, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a little weird that Snake Eyes didn't really get the sub-team treatment other than Ninja Force, right?
Yeah. I mean, he got a lot of versions still, didn't he? So I guess they were kind of cool with him. They didn't really have to reissue him necessarily because he was out in the main wave again, like shortly afterwards. I guess that was the thinking. For some of it, I think it was like to reutilize the molds. But in some cases, some figures just got a lot of them made because they were so popular. And he's one of those, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Grant says Tiger Force Snake Eyes and Scarlet. I like that. There is a Tiger Force Frostbite, Diana. So we've already got that. Technically, he exists. Tiger Force Leatherneck, says Eben. Yeah, that's a good one. That's actually kind of cool, actually. I can imagine him, you know, in like, you know, one of the Tiger Force decos or similar kind of way for Leatherneck. That would be sick, actually.
I like Phillip's new choice.
I'm going to just avoid everyone's comments just so I can get to that now. Some of these are actually really good, though. Ratface44 says Python Patrol Alley Viper. That sounds pretty dope, actually. I like that. Talking Joe says, I say go the opposite direction with low light. Bright yellow Tiger Force low light. That's what I'm talking about. Anti-camouflage. Yes, Talking Joe, aka Mark, I believe. Big time. Jeff says, wouldn't Night Force low light basically just be V1 Snake Eyes? I think with the decos with Night Force, they're actually more interesting than just all black. Like the kind of like the brain goes to, like, you know, Night Ops, which would be effectively all black, wouldn't it? But in actual fact, the Night Force decos are some really interesting. You got browns and greens and teal and all sorts of colors
in blue. There.
And blue, yeah, absolutely. Python Patrol Stinger Driver and Viper Pilot, if only to confuse everyone. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know why. My mind often goes to the Viper Pilot for Python Patrol, but I rarely ever think of the Stinger Driver. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Good shout. Right, yeah. Python Destro says Bee's Battlegrounds. That's almost like him getting demoted, isn't it? Destro, it's like he's kind of going from his own company where he runs and controls his entire army to going, yes, I'll put this Python Patrol costume on just for you, Cobra Commander, and go and do. That's kind of funny to me. That,
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, the whole sub team thing is one of those things that can get out of hand. I always, in my mind, liked to think of the Python Patrol as fewer in numbers than sometimes they are depicted. Like, maybe, yeah, there's only one or two.
Yeah, like a special team kind of thing. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Diana says Tiger Force Dawn Moreno. Can we get regular Dawn Moreno first before we get Tiger Force?
Yeah, that figure needs to happen. So if you have to do it Tiger Force first to give us the standard one, then that's fine.
We've got from Aaron here, Mainframe in Night Force. Sounds kind of cool, actually. Obviously, we had a very cool Mainframe redeco, didn't we, in the Mission Brazil set? I mean, that would be cool. Night Force, though, wouldn't it? I mean, you can kind of almost see the colors on him, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, the Brazil one kind of had that color separation that the version one did not have. So I'm picturing that as well on the Night Force one, where he has maybe blue pants on, and a brown shirt or something like that.
That's a good shout. I was thinking brown pants. Obviously, innuendo helmet. I was thinking brown pants and, yeah, like some sort of like kind of like a darkish gray, like a much darker than the gray shirt he's got. And then the helmet to match the pants would be kind of cool as well. Yeah, that'd be neat. I'd love to see some ideas for the Mainframe in Night Force. That'd be dope. Tiger Force Psych Out and Tunnel Rat. Well, Payne, they both technically exist and they'll be coming soon, won't they? So, well, as in, you know, you hope they're becoming soon, I would say. And that isn't a mistake, by the way. I have no idea if Tiger Force, Psych Out, and Tunnel Rat are on the cards. But if Outback exists, guys, then Psych Out and Tunnel Rat can as well. Well, we know Tunnel Rat's coming, but just not as Tiger Force. Tiger Force Repeater, says Joe Barrett. That's kind of interesting because he's been in Night Force. Would you have a Tiger Force Repeater?
See, Repeater falls kind of later in the line, and my mind always goes to the earlier characters for Tiger Force, like really earlier stuff. So I don't know. I probably would personally try to stick to that earlier stuff, but that's not really what it is anymore. I mean, there's Tiger Force figures all the way, you know, Tiger Force crosshairs.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for all your comments, guys. I tried to get as many as possible. And let's move on to the next news story before we finish. And this one is obviously probably the meatiest to get our, teeth into. He says, not eating meat. But yeah, this is a big one, and it is both HasLab SkyStriker related and classified related. So take it away.
Emily and Lenny surprised HasLab backers with a special unboxing video for the SkyStriker as they have begun to land in people's mailboxes over the past few days. The video lasted about 3/4 of an hour, and about halfway through they decided to drop some heavy bombs on us in the form of name-only reveals for the classified series. Yes, Helix and a G.I. Joe troop builder pack, presumably green shirts or something there or thereabouts, who will be able to handle land and air. Interesting. Maybe a jetpack or two. They also explained that there would be a live event in February for G.I. Joe with brand new reveals, pre-orders and other cool stuff to look forward to. Emily mentioned that the break between live events was due to having a lot of product deliver in a short space of time, and they felt the need to give us fans a little break, which actually makes a lot of sense. Although I've been chomping at the bit for another round of name drops, digital renders and pre-orders to get my teeth into, Helix is a great addition to the line, and I cannot wait to see her and the Joe troop builders ASAP.
Big time. So first off, Pat, HasLab SkyStriker, unboxing. Well, that's what we're all expecting. So we'll talk about that first. You've got yours, haven't you?
Yeah, it just arrived yesterday. And so I was kind of eager to get in there and open it up.
Awesome. And how have you found it so far?
Mixed. I really was happy. I think we were talking about this before we went on. I was really happy that the panels are as tight on there as they are, because they are a little difficult to get off, but that's good because it means that they don't fall off easily, which was a concern that I had, that, you know, people would have their SkyStriker on display and months later they would notice, oh, there's a panel missing. I wonder where that went. You know,
it kind of adds a little bit of longevity to it.
It does. Yeah. So it's a good thing that those don't just pop off super easy. And then I decided, because we've talked about it a bazillion times, I had to test the 25th figures to see if they would fit.
Oh, nice.
And I really think that if somebody were to make a design of a seat that it was a little more flat and lean back a little bit, that it could happen, because if you take the seats out, two figures rattle around in there. I did manage to almost get a 25th ace into the existing seat.
Wow.
With a backpack peg on it. So almost a 25th ace fits, but obviously a lot of the 25th figures, the problem I think is the bulk of the secondaries. Like, I tried to pilot Scarlet, and there was just no way to get her legs, especially since she doesn't have the double-jointed knees. That pilot Scarlet from the 25th, I just could not get her in there. But I actually decided to use an Agent Helix figure because, you know, she was topical. So that's who I had in there, was Ace and Helix. And, you know, they rattle around without the seats in. So the answer is, to me, a maybe on the 25th stuff. And if somebody were to design some new seats, I would say most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Big shout out to S. Myers, by the way, who's just dropped us a super chat. Been a while since I caught a live chat. Keep up the good work. Sky Patrol in 2024. That sounds awesome. And thank you so much for the super chat. We really appreciate it. But yeah, someone even said something along the line. I think it was Robert H. said Sky Patrol Tunnel Rat, which made me laugh. So yeah, that would imagine you've got to, like, it'd be like Ninja Force mainframe, wouldn't it? Like, you've got to think of the most ridiculous combinations, and that's, I think, they're the winners. But yeah, thank you for that as well. Thank you for all your comments, and thank you for the super chat, S. Myers. Really appreciate it.
Scarlet, I think, does have a handle on the crossbow. I think I kind of only glanced over the figures. Slave Tulea is asking, my Scarlet crossbow has a handle. And I think it does. I didn't notice that it didn't. I only kind of looked over the figures. I haven't actually opened those yet. I was kind of surprised. Normally, I set the vehicle aside and get right into the figures. I did it opposite this time.
Coolsies. In general, are you happy with the Sky Striker though, overall?
Yes. If I have any number one frustration, it's wondering if there's going to be more O-ring figures.
Yeah. I wonder if they actually talk about that on this February stream, because that's the next thing to talk about. They obviously said they're going to be doing another February live event. Another live event, and it's in February. And I think it's one of the things we kind of expected, because they'd been going through the list of all of the brands, hadn't they? Started off with Indiana Jones, we got a Power Rangers one, Star Wars had just announced one, Transformers as well. So like, you're kind of thinking, well, Joe's got to be soon, and lo and behold, yes, they will be doing one. And Emily even said, and you mentioned this earlier, Pat, that they'd been kind of made a purposeful break between the two of them to let everyone kind of almost catch their breath a little bit in the meantime. And you're still getting people going crazy, like wanting a live event, which is, of, you know, people are excited about these, and it means more product and it means more reveals. So obviously it makes a lot of sense as to why there's that excitement there. So I can kind of, you know, you can forgive that a little bit, definitely. So that's awesome. Now, are you excited for another live event, or are you just like, had you gotten used to not spending a lot of money?
I have gotten used to not spending a lot of money. Honestly, though, I kind of feel okay. This isn't that bad, because it doesn't feel like, you know, I was picturing G.I. Joe's like that episode of, we've talked about it before, like that episode of I Love Lucy, where they're just coming down the thing and she starts shoving her mouth full of them. It's like, it was way too much, you know, and like seeing stuff coming down the pipeline while I can't get all the stuff that's in the store and I wasn't able to find this. It has finally normalized.
Yeah.
So now, like, whatever goes up for pre-order doesn't, to me, feel insane to actually be out there and on pre-order. I'm probably going to go back to my old self where I'm not pre-ordering everything and I just find what I find in the store and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Which in the past was everything. But, you know, I think that it's good. And I'm really curious. I also said a long time ago, I really like that they do the live streams. And yeah, I'm hoping that they do address the O-ring figures. Although, to be honest, I kind of don't think that they will.
There's that feeling, isn't there, that maybe, yeah, that they won't kind of get to that. So I'm just kind of going through some more of the comments. Guys are pouring in. It's great. Thank you so much for all the interaction on these shows. We do appreciate it. Talking Joe says Sky Patrol Deep Six. I love that. That's a great shout. he would be just chrome, all chrome, even the glass, so he couldn't see out of it, or it was one way. So let's talk then, because obviously we're talking about Helix and the new reveals. Helix and a G.I. Joe Troop Builder. So these are the name drop kind of classified reveals for the live event. And do you know what was funny is it wasn't even the live event, was it? It was a kind of pre-recorded video that they put out for HasLab backers. And then it was on Pulse, obviously, the link. So I don't think anyone was necessarily expecting them to drop any names. So I think it was a bit of a surprise to everyone that, you know, that this happened. It shouldn't be now, because for the most part, in every live stream, they always do a name drop. And sometimes if Emily and Lenny aren't even there, Thew does it. Some other random person. We've probably missed loads of classified name drops on the Star Wars, on the indie live streams, just not paying attention. So I should be aware of it now. But Helix, Troop Builders, Pat. We'll start with Helix. Are you excited that they're doing, again, like a character that isn't necessarily an expected one?
Yeah, she's from the Rise of Cobra video game. I see some people commenting that they're not as familiar with her. I think the video game company that made the Rise of Cobra game was called Double Helix, I think.
Yep.
And as a result, they added in their own character. And, you know, it was all Hasbro approved and everything. And
yeah, there's a comic that kind of like came out around the same time, wasn't it, as well?
And it was a good idea for a figure and a good design. And she just kind of became an instant hit. Rise of Cobra, like we talked about it, the movie was not great, but that time was good for G.I.
Yes.
Joe fans.
Yes.
And there was a lot of stuff coming out, and Agent Helix is certainly, in my opinion, one of the best things that just kind of happened during that time. There was another deco of her in red, so I wonder if we... I would imagine that we will get the Helix that we're familiar with. She'll probably Definitely. Look a lot like this.
Oh, I would imagine so. She's almost got like... it's almost like this is her iconic look, with the, even down to like the straps and the textures on the gear and everything. It's all very specific. It's not something that you could really mess around with in a design format. Do you know what I mean? Like, you kind of more or less probably have to put it in those, in that kind of style, I think. And obviously the hair is going to, you know, it's cool, that kind of like white with the black streak in it and everything. There's just there's a lot of interesting design aspects on Helix. I really like her as a figure and a character. Talking Justice, I'm really glad they announced Helix. It is interesting that they're exploring the newer era, opens the door to newer characters like Dawn.
It does
100%. I mean, Helix has been one that we've talked about as once in Classified series, in O-Ring, on many episodes in the past. Her and Dawn would be great. So yeah, I'm glad they're doing those. I'm not as surprised, I think, as a lot of people, but then I think a lot of people who've come into the brand maybe with, you know, like have come into the Classified series as their jumping on point, or they've come into the Classified series as their return point from when they were kids and they had whatever figures they had when they were younger. I can see that there's a huge batch of history that is kind of missed out a little bit. And I can understand why Helix may have been missed in some people's kind of like on some people's radars in that sense, because she was also in Larry's comic. She was in the IDW series as well. And she was kind of really good in that, with Dawn and Bombstrike and all those kind of characters that got like a reinvigoration to some degree, either introduction or reinvigoration. So like, I think it's not like necessarily like surprising, you know, that it's Helix. It's more like, yeah, I kind of expect them to do Helix because she's like a really cool, awesome character that would work well in the Classified series. But then when you take into consideration, there's this huge amount of people that probably haven't got that, their eyes on that period of time. I can understand why there were a lot of comments, by the way, on the YouTube thing of, I'm not familiar with Helix, or I've never seen this character before, or that kind of. I was really surprised, honestly, because I thought she'd had enough media coverage, especially in recent years, to kind of have that be more aware. But I suppose Dawn maybe overshone her a little bit, would you say?
I don't know. Maybe. It is just one of those things that... I have to always remind myself that a lot of people are just, you know, getting back into G.I. Joe because of the fact that the Classified figures may be pulling them back in.
Yeah.
So it may just be a thing. I mean, I would imagine that if you've been around, I mean, it's sad to say, but man, Rise of Cobra was 14 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Was it really that long ago? Yeah.
2009, yeah.
Yeah, so 14 years ago. So I could totally not... I really shouldn't be expecting people to have been collecting G.I. Joe again for 14 years.
Yeah, even though we have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Totally get that. And that is something you don't necessarily think about. And then when you do kind of like do the math a little bit, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I see. I can kind of see how that's the case. And obviously it's the case because people don't know who Helix is. Like, there's a lot of people that were commenting on the video, like more so than people that were like excited or like knew the character, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it's definitely a thing. By the way, Joe Cam, who asked about doing a summary of her character, I'll be doing a deep dive on Let's Talk Classified Helix on a video this coming week. So we'll try and delve into it on that video a little bit more, so you can have like a little kind of character explanation and figure summary. So yeah, look out for that. Also, Peppermint Oil Capsule, thank you for the super chat. Live episode of Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse tomorrow. Brilliant. Get on the channel for Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse, guys, and give them a like and subscribe and all that good stuff. And go check that out tomorrow. One thing I will say as well, the next thing we should talk about then is this amazing news that we're getting some sort of G.I. Joe troop builder. bit vague on the description. A lot of people have jumped to the conclusion of green shirts or something there or thereabouts. Obviously, we did as well, but only based on the fact that we have no information really to go on at this point. What do you think Lenny was getting at in terms of the land and air scenario? Because I just went to jetpack, but that might not be the case.
That's kind of how I feel too, because, you know, it's land and sea and air, G.I. Joe is there. So are these guys just like, nope, we got it on our contract. We're not doing sea. We don't water.
Not with Tiger Force Deep 6 in there, in the Tiger Shark.
No. So yeah, I would think that it's going to have to be something with, it's like a jetpack trooper or something like that. Maybe it's like a figure that includes a jetpack jump. Should I assume that?
Well, obviously it's multi-pack. So we're talking multiple figures. Excuse me. We're talking lots of accessories.
Oh, it is a multi-pack. Is that right?
Yeah. We're talking lots of accessories. So he said they really packed it with all that kind of stuff. So I imagine it's going to be a generic figure that then has lots of options to go with. Sort of in the similar way to how they're doing the officer and trooper female figures, but then probably with more stuff by the sounds of things, because it sounds like there's going to be more stuff. I imagine blast effects too.
See, I was just going to mention the blast effects because, yeah, I would imagine blast effects too. I've just gotten tired. At this point, you know, it's the blast effects. It's like the Iron Man blast effects from the 2009 collection of that. It's like, yeah, I have blast effects now. Okay, I don't need more. And, you know, they add to the cost. And after a while, you just have them. So unless they're a new sculpt of blast effects, you just don't want them.
I imagine if they are going to have blast effects in them, and this is just a guess, they will be new based, like, because the fact that the female troopers come with the same blast effects that the Vipers did makes me think that I doubt they'll do the same blast effects again. I imagine they'll do like new ones.
Sure. I don't know. Blast effects, they just don't excite me that much. I even get a little frustrated trying to remember them. Like, which I don't immediately associate a little orange explosion with a specific character. And so whenever I'm trying to repair or pair back up, not repair as in fix, but
I know
pair
what you mean, yeah.
together.
Yeah.
It's hard
to remember. Re-hyphen pair. P-A-I-R. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it's just hard to remember those and associate those with a specific figure. So in a lot of ways, just my desire to remember what accessories come with who drives me crazy. No, I'm not ever happy. I've got my nitpick helmet on.
I love the fact that we did that at the beginning. I love the fact we've got our own mask helmets now. It's absolutely hilarious. I'm definitely going to work on a monthly where we talk about masks and we do the same thing where we've got to have our own things and then create some sort of intro where the robot voice gets the team together before at the beginning. I think that would be the best thing ever. So we're going to have to do that and I'm going to have to work out how to animate stuff. Right then. What's the other thing? I think that's it. I think that's everything from that particular video. So the live event is in February, kind of like more details will kind of emerge. I imagine that next week or this coming week, the next couple of days, I should just say for ease. We've got lots of stuff on the horizon. Like I said, I'll be doing that deep dive into Let's Talk Classified Helix. I'm also doing a Let's Talk Classified Vehicles deep dive where we look at the kind of the vehicles that we've had so far in the Classified series and we look at possibilities going forward and what to like expect and all that kind of good stuff. So it's taking a while because there's a lot of vehicles in G.I. Joe. I'm not sure if you've noticed that, Pat.
Yeah, there are a lot of G.I. Joe vehicles. I have noticed. My storage area has noticed.
I can imagine. Yeah, I'll get to that talking, Joe. I'll get to that. He just said, basically, Chris, you've not talked about Lenny's mustache. Yeah, that is an absolute beauty, isn't it? When I actually messaged him last night and said, digging the leather neck tash, which he thought was funny. But yeah, it's a beauty, isn't it? Thick, bulbous. I can't, yeah. My tash there, it's a thinny. It's not as cool.
I don't really, I mean, I haven't shaved today, but I, I don't know. I tried the beard. You could, if you look at all articulated points videos, you'll see me with a full beard, and it wasn't working. It's my beard doesn't grow in calm. It's very wild.
I thought it looked
not
good.
How it used to be when I had color to it. It was okay, but now
it's working
I don't...
for me when you did it. Anyway, yeah. also, I can't grow hair in the middle bit there. Just doesn't grow. So people think I shave that. I don't at all. It just doesn't grow there. It's weird. Anyway, that's the mustache chat. So thanks, Talking Joe. Thanks, Mark. That's actually a good point. Maybe it's a Ron Rood attribute. Could be. With the Leatherneck connection, yeah, that I threw in there.
It does feel like, you know, he's just staring at the Joes with all the awesome 80s mustaches for so long. He's like, you know, I just got to go for it.
Exactly. And that, yeah, Absorbvids is right. This stash really proves his
it's
commitment.
It's like that moment where you become the thing that you're creating.
Amazing. Am I going to turn into a podcast with some description? I'm just going to turn into a screen with, like, the spinning wheel of death in the middle of it, constantly editing. It is a good bazooka look, actually, Diana. Yeah, you're right. He's got the bazooka down on that one. Yes, that's a good one. If you want to make your stash more, I'm guessing, epic, give it the torch mutton chops, says Phil, and I agree on that one. Anyway, that's enough of the stash talk. But yeah, it's a beauty, Lenny. Keep it going, mate. I want to see it out to here. I want to see a tash that is like grows that way, just so bulbous. That's what I'm going to see. Anyway, keep it going. Right. Let's move on then to the usual. So we're going in now to shout outs. But first off, a little chat from me about Hoarder.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Can't help but bounce around when I hear that music. Anyway, yes, get involved, guys. Right now, shout outs. Pat, do you want to go first, buddy, as per?
Yeah, he's here this time. Shout out to Philip.
Hey, I haven't changed the image still.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't have a versus coming up at all. But yeah, shout out to Philip.
Yeah, what's in the articulated points pipeline, by the way, Pat? Can I ask that question now?
I probably need to ask Philip that question.
Phil, let us know in the comments. Amazing. Right then, I'm going to get into the fam. Big shout out to Mom and Dad. I know Mom was watching earlier. Love to everyone in the UK, obviously. And also, big shout out to my Auntie Jan today, whose birthday it is. I messaged her to say happy birthday. So everyone wish my Auntie Jan a happy birthday. Love you very much. And hopefully going to be coming out very, very soon to the UK to actually see you in person. That's your present. What a sucky present, my Auntie Jan just said. Anyway, love to you, Martin and Dylan. And love to all the family, of course, and all the US fam as well. Big shout out to you. And of course, Kate and Phoebes in the other room over there. Phoebs, you heard of, from earlier, of course, making an absolute racket about Hasbro cutting a thousand jobs, and quite rightly so in that case. Also to Brian Sauer for all our amazing graphics. Brian has been churning them out for me recently. Thank you, Brian. And also thanks for all the redacted stuff. I'll be getting to that in a second. He's been working overtime, fighting crime. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mask. There you go. Pat. So, shout out to Brian. Thank you very much, mate. Love the graphics, dude. Other massive shout out to someone else that's in the chat with us today, Mark from Talking Joe. And of course, Mark and Tim, who do Talking Joe. They did an awesome interview with Jim Shooter, proper deep dive interview with him. So go check that out, link in the description. And also, you know, give the channel a subscribe, check it out. They're doing amazing things at the moment. They've had some incredible interviews recently. Just keep churning them out, don't they?
Yeah, I watched this one the other night. They really spend a lot of time asking him a lot of good questions. And I really liked their Ron Rudat interview as well, because you know, they're asking him a lot of questions like about his art history and things you just don't get in other interviews that give you a more rounded idea of Ron Rudat. And I appreciated that one as well. But I did watch the Jim Shooter interview, who I've met in person, actually. He was at a convention not far from here. So it was nice to see some of the things that he actually said to me in person are now like, recorded for posterity, because it was the same, you know, he said this things the same way. And that's always a good way of seeing like how well somebody's
remembering
exactly.
Yeah. Recall.
How accurate are they recalling things? You know, it's just a good one. And I love the fact that this is there for posterity, because obviously he did all of Marvel stuff. So to have a G.I. Joe specific Jim Shooter interview is great.
Absolutely. Thank you for all the happy birthdays in the chat as well for my Auntie Jan, by the way. And also Peppermint has asked me, coming to East Anglia, Chris? Yes, I is. I will be in East Anglia. East side? RK says, Jim Shooter looks like a gangster in that photo. He really does, doesn't he? He looks like one of the Krays or something. Anyway, and Talking Joe, there's Mark. Cheers, Chris. We are going live at 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. UK today with a sketchbook special with Allman Ellis of G.I. Joe Illustrated. Brilliant. Brilliant. Check that out. I'll try and jump on that. I'll try and watch that as well, Mark. Thank you very much, bud. Very cool. So anyway, big shout out to Talking Joe, to Tim and Mark. Do an amazing job. And I really do love what they do. And their interviews are insane. So that's great. Also, a massive shout out to Paddy and Brian. The video went up about half an hour before we went live today. A Full Force redacted interview with Paddy and Brian regarding their Kickstarter Total Action Force, the Battle Years soft cover. So you can check that out after the show, or if you've already watched it, then great. That is now live as we speak. Link in the description. The Kickstarter has kicked off. Those guys are at Dublin City Comics, by the way. So if you check in, if you're in that area at all, you've got, I think, until 5, which is probably about 40 minutes, I think. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, about 5 p.m. they're going to be finishing there. So if you can get in the next half an hour or so, it might be worth checking them out and seeing them. Only if you're in that area. I'm not saying like get like some sort of supersonic flight out there in the next 10 minutes. Anyway, there's a big shout out to them. We discussed the whole campaign and all that kind of good stuff. It's an absolute pleasure, as always, to chat with them. So, go watch that. And there you go. Launching today, Total Action Force, the Battle Years soft cover. So if you've missed out on that first edition, you can jump on it in this particular. It's a soft cover, but it's just as beautiful. And also, there is an option, there is a pledge level where you can get both the soft cover and the volume 2. Which they're both
volume 2 hardcover, then, right?
Volume 2 hardcover, yes. So the soft cover for volume 1 and the hardcover for volume 2, you can actually get them together. If you've missed both and you really want to get involved for whatever reason, you can do that on that level. So again, watch the video. All the information is thrown out there, and click on the link and check the pledge out yourself. Check the page out yourself. Let's get that one funded. And big shout out to those guys for doing an awesome job and two beautiful books. That's it then.
Philip says it's going to be Haunted Mansion. I just wanted to throw that in there. That's what our articulated points thing is going to be. Nice. Something about the Haunted Mansion. Yes.
Nice.
So I know what it's going to be, but I'm going to leave it a little more mysterious than that. What will it be regarding the Haunted Mansion?
What would Phil's mask be?
Oh, I don't know. He'd have to tell me.
Phil, let us know.
He does have the ability to just have everything that we're talking about nearby, so maybe that's what his mask would do.
Mom says, thank you from Auntie Jan. Yay! Happy birthday, Auntie Jan. Love you, Mom. Right then.
Happy birthday. I didn't also say happy birthday, Auntie Jan, so happy birthday.
How dare you, Pat? How dare you? Right then. That is it. That's the episode. That's all you get for us this time. Only an hour and 20 minutes. That's a long one. My goodness. Thank you to all our viewers, listeners, for all the comments and everything. Sorry I couldn't get to everybody. It is a bit of a balance trying to just, you know, get through it all and rush. So I apologize if I've missed anyone out. If I have done, I'll get back to you. I'll try and get you in. I'll try and squeeze you in on the next one. Apologies if you missed out on this one, though, guys. So that is it. Thank you so much for everybody. Thanks to our patrons. Patrons are going to be getting some cool intel as well very soon in the week. So keep an eye out on that. Yeah, there you go. It's another one in the bag. Thank you, Pat, for jumping on, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks once again for having me on.
Don't forget, look at classified vehicles. We're going to be looking at Helix. We're going to be looking at the troop builders as well as a little video as well in the next week or so. And we've got more crazy cool stuff to come. And go check out that interview I did with Paddy and Brian right now. That's it. Right, I'll see you guys. See you next week, Pat.
All right. Everybody knows what to do. I guess I'm going to say that.
Yeah, you can take over.
Everybody knows what to do at the end. So on the count of three. One, two, three.
Full force. That was weird not doing it.
That was weird.
That was so odd.
Are you going to do the intro now?
I like how Chris. I like it was Pat. Basically, Pat was like, dude, you're taking too long. I've got to go to work. I'll do it.
I don't have to go to work, though.
Amazing.
You need to
get
to the post office.
All right. So we can just hang out for another few minutes. I'm kidding. Right, guys. See you later.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.